When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to episode 33 of the Sick Podcast with your boy, that Leafs fan. Ladies and gents, we are just about a week and a half away from the playoffs. Matthews is surging for 70. He already passed Ovi's record for 65. He's now at 66, four games to go. Got lots to talk about, but before, producer, roll the tape.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With that Leafs fan.
They score! They score! Holy mackerel, they score! Morgan Rielly! Mo Rielly! The Leafs have won it! They're going to the second round! Do you believe this? Holy mackerel!
The sickest Toronto Maple Leafs podcast. It's gonna be sick.
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. You guys have been awesome lately. Before I get into like any Leafs things, just want to say a huge thank you for the support. You guys have been absolutely balling out. We're nearing 900 subscribers. We're about like 35 away. So thank you very much for that. If you haven't already, if you are enjoying the videos, please make sure to hit that subscribe button. The Leafs, we are a couple games away from... Honestly, the only period of the season, I wouldn't say only period of the season that matters. The most important part of the year, the crunch time. Crunch time. I think I'm going to go with crunch time. That's going to be the line today. Crunch time. We have now four games remaining. We are playing the Devils. We are playing the Wings, then the Panthers, and then the Lightning. And then it's the playoffs. Let's go through the games that happened this week so far. So we had quite a few, actually. We had three games in the last four nights. We started up by playing the Canadiens on Saturday. Then the Penguins on Monday. And last night, we played the Devils in Newark, New Jersey. All three of them were wins, which is great. Marner heading back into the lineup. That is very, very good to see. It's taking him a little moment to get his stride, but I'm not worried about him at all. I'm glad they took their time with Marner. I believe Timothy Liljegren and Kelly Yarncroak are also back to practice. They're back skating on the ice, which is very good news. Right now, what's important for the Leafs is much less the wins in these next four games and a lot more of how they play. Attention to detail and getting healthy. That is easily the things I would focus on as if I were leading the team, if that makes sense. So it's looking more and more likely that the Leafs are actually going to be playing the Florida Panthers. As much as I had asked for the Bruins, it's not going to happen. Panthers, not any easier at all. Matter of fact, I even argue harder, especially after the way we matched up against them last season. Although I do think we are a completely different team. So let's start with the games that happened this past week. It started off in Montreal on Saturday versus the Montreal Canadiens. And now Leaf fans, Habs fans, hockey fans in general know that regardless of where these two teams are in the standings, it tends to be a dogfight between both of these teams. And it honestly, I have to say, it was probably one of the calmer games I've seen between the two, especially considering throughout the earlier part of the season, midway through, compared to now, the Leafs just kind of came into Montreal and got the job done. They started off very slow in the first period. Samsonov held his ground. He played very solid. We'll get to that. The line juggling happening in Toronto right now, it looks like they're trying to like split the team across three lines, putting Matthews with Domi Bertuzzi, putting Nylander, I believe it's with Bobby McMahon, And is it? I don't know if he's with Tavares, because I know Marner. It's been so much line juggling, I can't even keep track of who's playing with who. But the point is, there's a lot of spread happening on the team. It seems Keith is going for a route that is a lot more depth through the lineup rather than overpowering one line, maybe two, and then kind of it dwindling off, if that makes sense. I thought they've been playing very, very defensively responsible hockey, especially in the last three games. Now, granted, neither of the three opponents they beat in the past couple of days are any teams that are in the current playoff spots, but there is a couple of them, including, well, one of them, I would say, the Penguins, who were severely in a huge dogfight to go and make the playoffs. That was a really good game. I thought I'm not too focused on the result of the game, like I said, in terms of like the goals and the final outcome, because at the end of the day, the only thing the Leafs are fighting for right now is home or away. It's really looking to be like it's going to be the Panthers. So, like I said, at this point, I'm a lot more focused on preparation rather than I am like results for the season, because we had home ice versus the Panthers last year, and everybody in the world knows how that ended. It finished in five, and it wasn't in our favor. So I'm not really too concerned with home or away, to be honest. Matter of fact, it's completely irrelevant to me. I even would say the Leafs starting away in the first round series might actually take pressure away from them. So I actually wouldn't mind if it stays exactly the way it is right now. Obviously not going to complain if we get home ice, but it's special because I feel like any other team in the league would love to have home ice, but I feel like Leaf fans, you can like understand where I'm going with this. It's just less pressure starting away. It's just less pressure. I find personally, because if you can take a game away from the other team while away and then you go back home, you now regain the hypothetical advantage. But we all know with the Leafs, home, away, playing in Mars, playing on the sun, it doesn't matter. Like it's Toronto. The only time we won a series in the last 20 years was away in Tampa. So I don't know how much that means, to be completely honest. I'm not too concerned about that. What I do want to point out is since the Leafs played an immature game versus the Devils, I want to say it was, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I'm pretty sure it was 2 weeks ago when we lost 6-3 on home ice. Keith came out and said that was a very immature loss. And what he meant by that is they actually kind of dominated the Devils, not the game that happened yesterday, the one of a couple of weeks ago. They actually dominated the Devils nearly the entire game. But it was a lot of immature, stupid mistakes and just not playing defensively responsible, in other words, that led to the downfall in that game. And since that exact game, the Leafs have really been tightening up in their own zone, in breakouts, through the neutral zone especially. We're seeing a lot more, again, attention to detail, whether it be stick checking, whether it be blocking the guy carrying him to the outside, like containing. I've seen a lot of that in the past couple of games. Obviously, there was a few moments, but it's the Leafs. It'll never be perfect. Don't ever expect perfection. Matter of fact, from any team, look, it's not just about the Leafs. Hockey in itself, there's no such thing as perfection. It's so rare. It's a lot more about, are you capable of making less mistakes than your opponent? Because hockey is a game of mistakes. That's the way it is. It's just how it rolls. And it's also a matter of capitalizing on those opportunities. And I think the Leafs have done a really good job of that recently. We've seen, look, I'm so hesitant to like, I've tried so hard to like avoid what I'm about to go and say right now, because it's like so redundant, and many people have heard it in the past, but I'm going to be like very attentive to how I say this. What I'm about to say, again, is not saying that I think the outcome is necessarily going to be different. What I'm saying is literally like eye test watching the team. Their style of play, at the very least, compared to previous seasons, is completely different. It's completely different. We are so accustomed to watching a very power inducing top of, like, how do I say this? They're very top heavy. That's what we've been used to seeing, like very, very like concentrated at the top, and then it just really falls off from there. And we've always expected, we've always had to depend rather on our top four, and we still do, which is normal. Again, there's 40 million invested in four players. 100% you need these guys to be your best. That's, it goes without saying. However, this year you're seeing a lot more different types of players in the lineup. Someone like Bertuzzi, who hit his 20th and 21st goal last night against the Devils. You have, honestly, Max Domi has probably been one of the greatest surprises. And I kind of shat on him at, I don't know if it was particularly Bertuzzi and Reeves that I shat on, but even Domi, I wasn't too keen on how he was playing. In the absence of Marner, we really got to see Domi take advantage of an opportunity in becoming Matthews' setup guy now that Marner wasn't there. And holy shit, did he play that role to a T, like to perfection he did it. And again, you saw it yesterday. I was actually watching the Leafs and Devils game with my buddy. And what I really cared about, and I feel like many people can agree, again, like I said, the result at this point in the season for the Leafs, like win or lose, it doesn't matter. Obviously, you want the win no matter what. You even want them to win in the preseason. But what I was mainly looking at, it was like, okay, I want Matthews to score because I really want Matthews to hit 70 goals. Like, I really, really, I think a lot of people want to see this. Like, unless you're like a despicable Leaf hater, if you take away the logo, like remove the Leafs logo from the equation and simply look at the stat of him chasing 70, I feel like there's so many people cheering for this to happen. And yesterday, Domi gets the puck. This is in the, was it the third? It was in the third period. It was in the third period. Domi gets the puck on the left side of, like, the top third of the the offensive zone of the Devils. And I'm like, okay, he's going to shoot. Like, there's no way he doesn't shoot. There's three Devils between him and Matthews. They're all on the right side of the ice. This guy has a clean look at the net. He has Bertuzzi in front. He's obviously going to shoot, and no, he gives somehow a no-look pass to Matthews, and Matthews scores, which is what made that situation completely stupid, because if that was anyone else on the ice, first of all, if it was any other option besides Matthews, like, you can argue Nylander if it was Nylander, but even then, everyone in Domi's position, including Domi, is taking that shot, but he passes it, and it was so stupid when Matthews scored, because it's like, it doesn't even matter if there's a goalie in net. The guy he's just scoring. He's just scoring from anywhere, any place, anyhow. It's just going in for him. And after a cold streak of, I think he had 2 goals in 9 games. Matthews now has 24 points in his last 12 games, and 12 of them are goals. So he is on a mission. He is on a mission. Paps is looking for 70. What I really do respect, though, and I feel Keefe did not get enough acknowledgement for this. Last night, the empty net was wide open for the better part of like 2 minutes before Bertuzzi potted the 5-2 goal. And everyone, including myself, is like, dude, put Matthews on the ice, put Matthews on the ice, put Matthews on the ice. It's literally a freebie. The net is empty. It'll put him one goal closer to like insanity. It would be awesome. And Keith didn't do it. Keith didn't do it. Obviously, he was probably thinking of putting him on the ice. But what I really liked about that, and what I'm trying to say, is Keith, and I think it's very underrated, what that showed me last night by not having Matthews on the ice towards the end of the game when the net was empty, is that the priorities remain the team. And it should be 100%. Like, look, as a fan, I was rooting for put Matthews on the ice every minute of the game. Just do it. Who cares? I want to see him at 70. Keefe has a job to do. He has to worry about the team winning the game, because at the end of the day, he is the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He is not the coach of Auston Matthews. Well, he is, but you see where I'm going with that. And I thought it was very, very underrated to see him, like I said, know his priorities, know his job, and the team be the team comes before any individual milestone. Not even close, not an argument. And I want to tip my hat off to that because Keefe has faced a lot of heat this year. And honestly, in the past couple of years, I mean, being a Leafs coach, you're going to face adversity every single season, no matter how good you do. It doesn't matter. You're under a microscope. I thought that was a moment under the microscope that he executed perfectly, perfectly, perfectly. We all want Matthews to succeed. But at the end of the day, it's a lot more important that the Leafs succeed before we go and chase personal accolades. So I just wanted to give a little shout out to Sheldon right there. Shout out to Sheldon. That's awesome. Something else. Here, let's get into the Matthews thing. And then I wanted to talk about Samsonov. So Austin Matthews right now, for reference, in case you don't know, I'm pretty sure you know because I have talked about it 40 billion times. And everyone on social media is probably talking about it 40 billion times. And yeah, that's just how it is because Matthews is doing something absolutely fucking ridiculous. Excuse my language. But Austin Matthews in the 21st century, it's not 2007 anymore where like first century is like, oh, okay, it's seven. Like, no, we are 2024. We are just about a quarter way through a new century, the 21st century. Matthews is the only player in this era that has multiple 60-goal seasons. And, like, you hear that and you're like, well, Ovi, no, he doesn't. Like, by the way, going to preface this. What I am saying is not to insult Ovi. It's actually to show just how crazy it is because I personally still believe Ovechkin is one of, if not the greatest goal scorer of all time. And I think he will catch Wayne Gretzky. And for Austin Matthews to be doing things that Ovi hasn't done is a testament to just how special this is. Matter of fact, Ovi literally said, I am rooting for Matthews to hit 70. Like, he said it himself. Because even he can acknowledge, like, this is insane. This is crazy. Guys, if Austin Matthews hits 70 goals, this is something that hasn't happened since 1992-93. Timo Solani's rookie season. Timo Solani retired a long time ago. His rookie season was the last time we saw this. And 92-93, if I'm not mistaken, was the highest goal-scoring season in NHL history. I'm pretty certain it was in NHL history that was one of the highest, if not the highest scoring season as like the NHL as a whole. So what he's doing right now is completely spectacular. And I kind of want to give a little shout out to myself because I did say at the beginning of this year, and you can go and look back at it if you'd like, that Austin Matthews was going to go on a new level that we just haven't yet seen from him. He was going to level up. That's what we needed from him. He had to level up. He's leveled up. Now, obviously, we're going to need to see this in the playoffs because at the end of the day, you can finish with 140 goals in the season. If you don't contribute when it counts, none of it matters. But, like, I just don't see how he won't. Like, every time he has the puck now, I'm like, something can happen. Every time. Whether it's in the defensive zone and he does, like, a stick check and he gets the puck. Whether it's a pass from Domi and he's just, like, anywhere he is on the ice, he's just a threat at all times. Even when it doesn't look like a threat, he's a threat from anywhere. So, and it's just, like, as a hockey fan, to me, obviously, I love that he's a Leaf. Like, no kidding. I am so happy that Austin Matthews is a Leaf. But even outside of that, like, just as a base, like, at the base of things, just being a very big enjoyer of the game of hockey, watching him, regardless of the logo he has, watching him as an individual player and to be doing what he's doing at such a high, the highest level of competition it's unreal. It's unreal because you have to think this guy's 26 years old. Like he's barely scratching his prime. He's literally 26. He's 26. It's so, I become dumbfounded when I say it. And he's doing these things that you're like hearing stats of things that he's doing and you're just like, this doesn't make any sense. Like this doesn't make any sense at all. Austin, I heard this stat yesterday and I was like, I don't believe you. Here's the stat. Since 2010 up until today, meaning that every single person that has entered the NHL since 2010 up until now, the highest goal scorer in the NHL from players drafted 2010 onwards is Austin Matthews, including all the people in between that are still playing. Do you understand how Matthews came into the league in 2016-17, 6 years later? he is ahead of everyone through those 6 years and everyone after and everyone in between. It's so dumb. It's just unreal. And again, I know more than anyone that none of this is going to matter if nothing happens in the playoffs. It's the brute reality of professional sports. Statistics and personal accolades in the season are fantastic. It's not what matters most. It's the outcome of your team in the playoffs when it matters. And unfortunately, that's what I really hope to God that the Leafs do something this year, man. Yeah, it's that time of year, guys. I'm like stopping myself from like getting too ahead of myself. It's that time of year. I'm so excited. But all that to say, like, as a hockey fan, you got to just love what Austin Matthews is doing. And as you just have to be able to appreciate it. I mean, it's not every day you get to see guys do what they do. You even have McDavid chasing a thousand. Okay, well, actually chasing 1,000 points, yes, but chasing 100 assists in a single season. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's a good time to be a hockey fan. It's a great time to be a hockey fan. And the best points of the season or best points of the year are yet to come, because I believe now we are 10 days away. Officially, the playoffs are going to be starting April 20th, which is next Saturday. Not this one coming up, but next. So it's crunch time. I can't wait. I cannot wait. And speaking of the playoffs, I think hidden in all of this is the comeback story. I know I mentioned it before, but of Ilya Samsonov. It has truly been remarkable what Ilya has been able to do this year. From going to not playable, like not playable. I know I spoke about this before, but he deserves it, honestly, because we didn't shy away from saying he was unplayable when he was unplayable. So I think it is only fair that we give props, I guess, if you will, when it's due. And I think it's due. We're talking about a goalie, a player who didn't want to face himself. Matter of fact, he was like petrified of looking in a mirror after a game because of something wasn't working for him at the beginning of this year. He wasn't himself at all. You saw it in the media. He looked like a beat up puppy every time he got in front of the media to do an interview, to answer questions. It was like him against him. It just wasn't happening. This guy got waived, which means he literally gave the option to the NHL of saying, here, the Leafs are offering you this guy for free. All you got to do is pay his contract. You don't have to give us anything. Just take him. It got to that point, and everyone passed on him. Every single person. And you couldn't have blamed really any team because he was really unplayable at the time. He took, I think it was like a 2-week break, maybe 2.5 max. And he comes back and it's just the Ilya we were hoping for that was there last season prior to getting like relatively injured throughout the playoff run. Let's not forget, Ilya Samsonov is the goalie that was a part of the team when we finally got our first series win in 20 years. Now, like, you can look at that as pathetic, but you can also look at the other side of situation and be like, this was our goalie when we won a series. If he's looking good now, why not again? You know what I mean? So I just really wanted to give props to him because I think, look, handling pressure from social media, like I can even kind of like say that, let's say, and this is like a completely lesser extent, I'm just trying to like give you an image. Like, let's say, I don't know, I post on social media every single day. I've been posting on social media every single day for like 4 to 5 years now. I don't even remember. But anyways, even I sometimes when like I'm posting a video and like it's starting to go viral and there's an influx of comments and there's a bunch of different perspectives in the comment section, I can sort of sometimes feel that pressure. Like I feel a responsibility to perform or like kind of be a good influence, I guess you can say, to the world. You feel a little bit of that pressure. It is nothing compared to the pressure these hockey players face. It's not even close. It's like, it's, I shouldn't even have been comparing it. It was just to kind of try to build some sort of perspective to, like, for those like outside looking in kind of thing. And to think that Ilya Samsonov, first off, his English is very basic at best. This guy comes from Russia, the other side of the world, the other side of the world. He comes over to Canada. His English ain't sharp. He gets placed in literally one of, if not the most competitive and pressure-inducing franchises in like sports, honestly. Like the Leafs as a team, as a franchise, I argue they have some of the biggest pressure out of anybody. And I don't think anyone can really deny that. It's just there's so many eyes on this team. There's so much money in this team. There's so many fans for this team that it's inevitable that there's a lot of pressure on it. And you have to perform night in, night out. There is very little room for error. And to see what he went through at the beginning of this season and then to get waived on top of that, and then just come back 2.5 weeks later and is now like 17-4 in his last 21 starts. He has very well kept the Leafs in many games this season. He looks top of his like form, if you will. And I really just wanted to give my hats off to him because I can't imagine what it must have been like at the beginning of the season and to do the, honestly, one of the craziest 180s I've ever seen with an in-season change to a player, to an individual. It's truly remarkable. And I think he deserves a lot of respect and a lot of apologies from Leaf fans, from analysts, from all kinds of people. And honestly, he deserves to look at himself in the mirror and be like, dude, that was all me. Fuck yeah. That was all me. He deserves a pat on the back. Samsonov, if you're ever going to watch this, which you probably won't, but if you do, that is fucking awesome. Look at yourself in the mirror and give yourself a pat on the back. This was all you. This was all you that did this. No one else did it for you. This was probably one of the toughest situations you will ever be placed in your life in terms of your professional career, and you handled it like an absolute boss. Good for you, my man. Good for you. Amazing. And I hope it keeps treading this way for you, for the sake of yourself and for the sake of the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course. But ladies and gentlemen, lots happening. A lot of games. But it is about to be wrapped up. The season is about to come to an end. The NHL playoffs are about to begin. And at the end of the day, like I said, results matter in this business, in this industry, if you will. And there's a lot of pressure on the boys. There's a lot of pressure on the boys. We're going to have to see. I don't want to speak too soon. I'm going to just let it play out. I'm very excited. I can't wait. If you got this far into the video, thank you very much. I hope you did enjoy, genuinely. Drop a comment. Let me know what you think. Let me know how you're feeling about this team. Let me know just your thoughts, your takes. I want to hear it too. I check every single comment. I do my absolute best to answer them as fast as I humanly can. But guys, that is going to be it for today. Thank you very much for watching episode 33 of the Sick Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to drop a like on this video. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. The playoffs and the best time of year are approaching, and you're going to be here with me the entire way through. I'll see you in the next one. Have a great day. Take care.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with That Leafs Fan on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.